Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grooms with a View, only on Wedding Podcast Network. I'm your host, Robert Allen, and we're glad to be back with you for another episode of Grooms with a View, where I get to be a guy in a woman's world. We're thrilled on Grooms with a View to be able to have the man behind theplunge.com, Jeff Wilser, with us today. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Where did this idea for The Plunge come from?
About a year ago, we realized that when guys get married and guys go through the whole process of wedding planning, the engagement, the proposal, and all of that stuff, there really isn't a lot of materials and resources out there for them. And it's kind of a paradox, because most guys say, I don't want to read about wedding planning. That sounds miserable. And the paradox is, though, that there are 2.2 million guys who get married every year, and women do, you know, the cliche is women do 90% of the wedding planning, but guys still have to do that 10%. And there's really no one out there, or not many folks out there, talking to them in their voice. And the other weird thing is that it's kind of a taboo subject amongst guys. Like, if there are a few buddies out there in a bar, you're not really going to say to your friends, hey, man, I'm really having an issue with intimacy right now, given the in-law stress and so on. Like, that conversation doesn't happen. So there aren't a whole lot of, whereas women have, you know, a million books and magazines and blogs, I call it wedding porn, guys really didn't have much. And we wanted to write a pretty irreverent site for guys, but also still have a heart as well.
And I think you've really accomplished that.
And also, we worked very hard to, one reason we think the site has struck a nerve is that we try and cover topics that are important about relationships, and I'll use the F word, feelings. Mm. But we try not to do it in an Oprah-y way. And that's not a knock on Oprah, but that's just a recognition that guys don't want to go there. And so we use a lot of metaphors about, you know, about the NBA draft, or about more guys' subjects of sports. But we try and kind of back in to the hard stuff and the relationship and wedding stuff in a way that's palatable. One kind of my mantra is a spoonful of sarcasm helps the wedding planning go down.
Mm. I was reading on the site about your post about the five biggest mistakes grooms make. Let's talk about some of these mistakes that guys are making in this whole wedding planning process.
Sure, and that's not to say that all guys make all of these mistakes,
right.
but we certainly
make some of them.
Absolutely. And what we've seen in interviewing all these grooms is that these are some common threads that we just don't really think about, because, again, we don't want to think about it. You know, our partner is spending so many hours and so much time in this insanity of wedding planning, so it's kind of our knee-jerk reflex to just kind of back away and be like, whoa, I just want to stay out of this storm and stay somewhere safe. And so one of those mistakes is to completely shut down. We're thinking, okay, if I make efforts to weigh in on a decision to say, oh, I think we should have, you know, these flowers or whatever, then no good can come of that. So our reaction is to say, you know, I'm just going to just stay out of this, let her do her thing, and put my kind of head in the sand. That's not only is that bad for your relationship, but there are also some things that are really important for the wedding that behooves you to pay attention to. I'm a big believer in the 80-20 rule, and that helping with the big three decisions, the guest list, the location, and the dates, kind of having a real honest conversation and putting your giving your input to those big decisions, that will let you influence a good chunk of the wedding's direction without having to be involved in all the nitty-gritty stuff.
Right, and I think, you know, it's important for guys to understand and our fiancés as well, okay, that it's like kind of giving permission to not have to care about the flowers, let's say. You know, if it's truly not important, and what's more important is that your fiance is happy with the decision, which, as a guy, you understand that when your partner is happy, you're generally happy, So it's okay for guys to not feel like, is there something wrong with me that I don't care what the flowers are like? But, you bring up such a good point about, being involved in those pivotal things, like who's there? That to me should be important to anyone planning any kind of gathering. It just makes sense. You can't forget about logic throughout this whole process of planning a wedding. And like one of the mistakes you talk about is not losing perspective. It's a party, right?
A wedding is a party and an event. And like when you plan any party, you want to care about who's coming, where it is, when it is. And those are things that are true regardless of what events or party you're planning. And so just because it's a wedding doesn't mean you should forget that and think, oh, wedding, that's evil. I don't want to think about stationery or anything. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't freak out about stationery, but you should be concerned, or at least curious about who's coming to your party
Right.
and when it is, how much money you spend. These are all things that anyone should be interested in and has a stake in.
Right. And it's funny, like you talk about, invitations and things like that. Maybe you should care about what the words say, but not care about what it's printed on or, what shade of pale, whatever it's printed on. Pick the things that ultimately will become important and just stay logical about it and not get sucked into the wedding cloud, of
Yes, exactly. And when you do pick your things, actually be a good sport about it and work with your fiance on that stuff, as opposed to saying, oh, whatever works for you, that's fine. Actually being an involved partner on the big decisions like guest list and location, that kind of buys you capital to spend on not caring about things like stationery and flowers and ice sculpture and the 200 shades of taupe. Like, who freaking cares?
Right,
But
exactly.
if you shut down everything, then you're suddenly this Debbie Downer type person
Right.
that she'll kind of complain about to her friends, and with good reason.
And you come off looking like an idiot then.
Yeah.
Like how could you not care, about some of the things, I mean, it's just, but it's funny, as we talk about these things, I mean, there really is such a double standard in weddings, about what, it's like, we're supposed to play nice in the bride's world, and we're just supposed to kind of fit in just perfectly. And they kind of lose sight of the fact that, since they can, started breathing and becoming aware of the fact that they're little girls, they've been thinking about a wedding. We think about it when we're gathering the money to go buy the ring. That's when it kind of hits you. But
There's
for them, they've got a 25, plus year head start on you.
Yes, agreed. And it's not really the fault of the bride. It's more as you mentioned or allude to, there's these societal pressures for decades from other women in their lives, of whether parents or the magazine saying how to have your perfect wedding. There are all of these forces that make women understandably they feel that there's this all this pressure to spend so much time focusing on this. That it kind of does at times suck the fun out of the process. And we've had many brides write into our site saying that. This is, I know it sounds common sense, sounds commonsensical, and a lot of listeners will hear this and say, well, duh, you need to know about who comes to your wedding. But there's so many grooms and brides who write in kind of saying this to us that it's amazing how many people or how this does, this perspective, this common sense perspective gets lost in the world of all these, of oversaturation for women and undersaturation for guys. you know, guys have their own genres of things they obsess over that when you think about it, don't have a whole lot of purpose in life. Like, I play fantasy football, for example, mm-hmm. and I spend a lot of time reading magazines and websites and blogs about these little imaginary players that I will never meet in my life to see how many points they score for their NFL teams, which will give me imaginary points in my imaginary team. And I spend an awful lot of time in a day, every week, reading these things and spreadsheets and so on. So I think guys have their own version of wedding planning, but we do the same things just for different areas in life.
Right. And you know, it really comes down to, you know, it's interesting in looking at your post about, you know, you're talking about the groom's role in the wedding, you know. You know, the wake up or hit snooze posting that you did. We really do. I mean, even though, you know, when you say, you know, ignorance is no excuse, you know, kind of thing, you know, we can only play the dumb card so much. But, you know, it really is true that there are certain roles that fit the guy well. Yep. You know, we can kind of wrap our heads around it. Certainly, you know, planning the honeymoon, key, you know, I mean, what guy can't manage, you know, planning a trip? You know, if you can't, you know, and you've said this a number of times on the site, you know, maybe this is not the guy you should be marrying, you know, in the first place, if you can't handle, you know, planning a trip together and not enthused certainly about that.
Yeah, it's a great litmus test.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And music, obviously, right? Great place to get involved.
Absolutely. And the music, and that's something that, you know, every guy can relate to. It feels a little bit less sissy than helping out with decoration. Yeah. So guys can do that. And then this is one that guys, you'd think they'd be all over, but often they kind of just skate on and coast and hope the best man takes care of it all, is the bachelor party. And the groom really does have a role in the bachelor party besides just going to it and getting drunk. In fact, most of the emails we get to the site have to do with bachelor party ethics, which is kind of a thorny, sensitive issue. And it's, you know, while we are a guy's site, we are very, we err on the side of respecting the bride's wishes and perspective in a bachelor party. So before, if the groom's friends want to kind of kidnap him, take him to strip clubs or whatever, it's critical the groom knows what his fiance is comfortable with, as far as that whole kind of icky, weird world of strip clubs, and making sure that he does not cross any lines. So we, you know, our site is very irreverent and we're very kind of ha ha ha, but we are a little old school moral values when it comes to things like this about respecting your fiance's wishes.
Well, you know, it's quite evident in the post about bachelor party ethics. And, you know, it really comes down to, you know, you state it, you know, if you feel like it's wrong, it's wrong, you right. know, if it enters into your head. And, you know, you can't, as a guy, you really can't use the bachelor party as an excuse. You know, it's not, you know,
And what matters really is your fiance's, the limits your fiance imposes. Like, you have no idea how many emails we get from both men and women about the issue of lap dances. Mm. It's this weird gray area we have. And I think that this, my personal theory of why this still exists is, it's kind of a holdover from decades or even centuries ago, where we think of ourselves as, oh, we're single until they get married. Right. So we can, you know, we're celebrating our last night of singledom. And the paradox is, you're really not single. You haven't been single for a while.
Oh, that's right.
When you're engaged, you've probably been in a monogamous relationship for well over a year. And so to think that this is my last night to be able to get lap dances and grope these, you know, naked chicks. if your fiance is cool with that, all right, cool. And it is kind of I think one argument, I think it's just totally valid if the fiance is on board, is that, hey, this is just a tradition we have in our culture. It's no big deal. It's more innocent fun than it is anything else. And I think if it's in the spirit of innocent fun, that's a tradition, and the fiance is cool with that, then no harm, no foul. You know, do just a silly night with guys, smoking some cigars or whatever. If it's in that spirit, no problem. But if the fiance though is kind of weirded out and not cool with the idea of a naked woman stripper giving the groom a lap dance, which, let's face it, let's call it what it is, means kind of grinding against the guy's lap and grinding against his crotch. If the fiance is not cool with that, then that's out of bounds, and it's important to respect her wishes.
Right, and it's just not worth the headache that you're going to have. You know, it's really not, and it's certainly not the right foot to set off on doing this. And I've seen some bachelor parties go horribly wrong and some really horrible results from them, from rather innocent behavior that just was not tolerated, and it could be really ugly, and the repercussions ripple out a lot further than you can imagine. You do not want to go down in flames because of something stupid that you did on your bachelor party night that you would never do at any other point in time or have ever any intention to do in the future.
It's certainly a lot more downside, a lot more downside than upside.
Exactly, but it's, listen, it all comes down to, all these things that we're talking about. Okay, let's face it, it's communication. If you're not communicating with your fiance and being able to work through planning a wedding, which don't let anybody ever fool you, is a challenge, okay? Uh-huh. Just all the way around. It's really, you kind of look at it, we talk about, the litmus test. If you can get through planning the wedding unscathed, you got a pretty good shot at it. But you have to be smart in the things that you do. You have to think it out. You can't let emotions take over. That's the bottom line, because that's really what drives the whole wedding planning process from all ends. It's all riding on a huge current of emotion.
Agreed. Well said. Yeah. And the just like the encouraging thing on the bachelor party note is that, well, maybe encouraging for women, maybe discouraging for guys or some guys, is that we did a poll recently, and out of about 1,000 respondents, the majority of guys, the majority of grooms, said they do not want a stripper at their bachelor party. Mm-hmm. And we even parsed that out and asked, is that because you want one, but you think your fiance wouldn't be cool with it, or you personally don't want one? And the majority of guys said they actually didn't want one. And so I think there is, I think now we're kind of stuck with this stereotype of, like from movies like The Hangover and all kinds of guy comedies, and just that's the apple pie Americana tradition of yay strip clubs. We assume all guys want to go and get loaded and do that. Mm-hmm. When the reality is, no, the majority of guys don't want that. But their friends, the best man or groomsmen, feel pressured, like, oh, we got to show them a good time and do this. So when the reality is, the majority don't want that. And I just got back a couple of days ago from an amazing bachelor party in California. Mm-hmm. That involved camping, paintballing, fishing, go-kart racing, fires, grilling steaks. It was incredible. And the word strippers never crossed anyone's mind.
Right.
So I think we're seeing a lot more kind of non-stripper bachelor parties out there, and that's probably a good thing.
How do you feel about these combined bachelor-bachelorette party?
I think it's an outrage. I think that part of the spirit of the bachelor-bachelorette party is to spend time with your good friends and to kind of reflect and just to have a good time. And that's not to say, before people get enraged and slam things, I certainly believe in the possibility of co-ed fun and a big, large group party fun. And if there is kind of a special scenario where the groom's friends are all just happen to be best friends with the bride's friends, and there's really is a large kind of co-ed group, I guess that might work out okay. But I do think there is something important in the tradition of of spending quality time, ideally a weekend, kind of outside of the daily life's daily grind, spending time with your close friends, and just celebrating. It's nothing to do with, oh, we want to have bro talk and, you know, see strippers and so on, and more about just reflecting with your friends. And maybe I am being a bit irrational and traditional for no reason. That's possible. But I do think some traditions are important, and I think the gender segmented bachelor and bachelorette party is a solid tradition.
So if you're going to do this co-ed thing, you know, do it, but it should never be in place of. You know, do it in addition to. Don't ever do it in place of, because I think it really kind of becomes one of those, you know, life stage events. I mean, much like the wedding is, like you'll always remember, you know, I think you'll remember parts of your bachelor party, you know, the beginning of it, certainly. But, you know, it's kind of, you're right, you know, there are certain traditions, I think, that serve more than one purpose and serve more of a purpose than may meet the eye, you know. It's a great stress reducer, you know. Guys are going through a lot of stress, too, and we don't have as, you know, if we're not as expressive as women, and you know, we don't get it out as easily. So that's a good time, you know, in a couple of weeks before the wedding, to be able to let off some steam and kick back and maybe forget about wedding planning, you know, in the throes of the wedding planning. And I think it's healthy for both the bride and the groom to do that kind of thing.
The other thing about the co-ed, the other kind of downside there is that no matter how well all the groups get along, the guys will still be on guard with the bride and the bride's friends there. And the women will also be on guard. And so the great thing at a bachelor party is, whether it's, you know, six buddies around a campfire or at a bar or whatever it is, you just relax, let your guard down, and de-stress, as you said. And when there's this co-ed thing, it's a more stressful environment, and it really defeats the whole purpose of the event. Then sounds a lot more like an engagement party than it does a bachelor party. And while those have their place, it's not the same thing.
You know, and the other thing really that we should talk about is, you know, I don't get the guys who decide to have their bachelor party like the night before the wedding kind of thing. That's a bad idea,
terrible. I think that most people have started to sink in culture pretty much. I remember a few years ago, that would seem more frequent and more common than not. I think now there's a lot more guys who do it a few weeks in advance or a weekend, a month in advance, or at very least, if you're getting married on Saturday, do it on Thursday. Give yourself a full day to recover from a hangover. Yeah, you're right. That's a really awful idea. Hey, let's get tanked 7 hours before I have to get up to...
One of the other things I wanted to touch on, and we've done podcasts that focus on money issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that money, talking about money, is almost like more taboo than discussing the bachelor party sometimes. It's like the couples don't talk enough about whether it's going to be money issues of the wedding planning process, mm-hmm. and even money issues of how you're going to handle money, you know, as you become a couple and start your own family. It's like couples will talk about religion and how you want to raise your kids and all that, but they'll never talk about, you know, do you like to save money? Do you like to spend money? You know, what's your, you know, do you pay your bills on time? It's all of those things. None of that is ever touched on.
That's a great point. And I think, I mean, first of all, I think the time to start talking about money is this sounds crazy, but it's before you get engaged. And that should be part of, and not even as bluntly as what savings account should we use? But more just to get a sense of, are the two of you compatible with how you treat money and what are your values in the world as far as saving? You know, will your kids go to public, private school? Will how much do you guys save? And again, that's kind of an awkward conversation to have early on in a relationship, and it's a good way to really definitely a good way to kill any chance of a second date. So I'm not saying that should be early on, but before you guys are walking down the aisle, and ideally before there's a ring exchange, you should have a sense of, are we on the same page with how we feel about money? But with the regards to the wedding planning in particular, everything you just said, I agree with. And the other variable that makes it even more awkward at times is the parents. And if the wedding is being funded to some extent or completely by one set of parents or both the parents, it can be a really awkward thing, even with the best relationships with parents and kids. And that's where it's really important. And I think a lot of times couples might not quite understand the relationship between money and power, and that if one set of parents is funding the whole wedding, does the other set of parents, how many seats do they get? Who gets to weigh in on certain decisions? It can be a very sensitive subject for all parties involved. And to go back to a word you used before, communication is really key. And that's one area where the groom does need to really wake up. Frankly, it's irresponsible and bad for you and bad for the relationship to just say, oh, you know, Brian, you take care of all that money stuff. You can handle the parent stuff. Like that doesn't work. The groom's role is to help handle the relationships at least between the groom's parents and the fiance. It's kind of throwing her under a bus to say, yeah, why don't you email my mom and to take care of this stuff? Don't worry about it. The groom should have a role in all that.
Yeah, I agree, because, you know, there's so many, you know, nuances to, you know, to the way things will work once you if you're going to take money from parents, they do, you know, unless they're, you know, just coming right out and saying, listen, here's $50,000. I don't care who we invite or whatever, you know, you take over. But more often than not, you know, if parents are putting up the money for the wedding, they want to have some sense of control at some point of what's going on. And you have to understand that as a couple, that if you're going to take that money, that you're going to have to give up a little bit of control and be reasonable and work, you know, with your parents and try and, you know, again, you know, I said it's a challenge, you know, to keep everyone happy is a challenge. And you're not going to make everyone happy on every point. But, you know, I just think being informed and having information at hand, I think is key. And keeping that open line of communication is critical in making this all work.
Yep. And one particular point on the actual budget itself, there's kind of two ways to approach, as you know, there's two ways to approach budgeting, bottoms up or top down. And we definitely recommend the latter as far as trying to establish a budget for yourself. I mean, after you first do some due diligence to see, okay, roughly how much do we think things could cost, get a top-down budget where you say, all right, my budget for this wedding is $30,000 or $25,000 or whatever, and then use those constraints and find things that work within those constraints, as opposed to not having any top-line goal or constraints. It's like, all right, we'll buy these flowers, we're going to buy this venue, we're going to do this and this and this. And then at 9 months later, you realize, oh my God, we're spending $107,000.
Right.
and that sounds pretty obvious, but we have plenty of people writing in who say they did that yeah, we just kind of bought things and work with contractors. And then one night we kind of got a calculator out and added up all these invoices and receipts. And we're like, holy,
right. Yeah.
Look what happened.
Yeah.
So it's when possible, I definitely recommend going top down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great advice. Really great advice. And listen, I have to tell you, I love your website. I think it's great. It's, you know, the writing is just spot on. And it really is true. You know, we do a lot of this tongue in cheek, obviously. And, you know, we love our women. And, you know, I go back to what, you know, you wrote, you know, in The Biggest Mistakes, it's, you know, let's not forget here that the most important decision is that you want to be marrying this woman, you know, and that's really the focus here. And the rest becomes secondary. But, it's a really good place to start in being able to work together in creating a wedding that is never, ever, ever going to be perfect. But if you can, you know, live through the process of planning it, like I said, I think everyone is on to a good start for sure.
And just a couple other thoughts as far as I mentioned that budgeting tip. On the plunge, we do have, you know, we're not just negative people who have irreverent things to say about weddings. We also have some tools. So on the plunge, there's a spreadsheet we have for guest lists. That, and I, in a former life, I used to be a finance kind of spreadsheet geek. So we actually have a spreadsheet for a guest list tool that we're pretty comfortable stacking up against anyone else in the business, including bride sites. So there's the guest list tool. We have checklists. So we try and, you know, for every 10 articles we have, like the, you know, 10 dumb reasons to get married or stupid ways to save money at your wedding, for everything like that we have, we also have some tools that help guys and brides for this. And the odd thing is, it's funny, when we launched the site, we were sure that, you know, all women are going to hate us because we're taking this sacrosanct thing and being pretty caustic at times. And surprisingly, only 90% of women hate us. There are 10% who write in.
That's great. That's great. I love when the glass is half full.
Yeah. So 10% full. It's great.
Right.
No, but seriously, we do actually have a lot of women and brides writing in saying, you guys are, you know, you bring some clarity to it. And I think one reason for that is my background is not at all in the wedding business. I, you know, prior to this, I wrote for guy publications like GQ and pop culture stuff like VH1 and MTV. I wrote a book that's skews more to being single about rules of being a guy called The Maxims of Manhood. So my background is very much writing for guys in a guy voice. And so, and that was important to us for the site, is to have that tone as opposed to like a wedding insider who is kind of just going to regurgitate the standard rules of weddings. So right. I think that's one thing that's helped strike a nerve, is a bit of an outsider's perspective.
Right, and it's interesting because I kind of, what I think about when I read through your site is, like, this is kind of the voice in your head, you know, and of what you're kind of really thinking. And it's a lot of, you know, when I read this stuff, it's like, yeah, this is exactly what, you know, what I'm thinking, you know, about. So that's really what I like. And I love the photography, too. I mean, I think it's, you've got great visuals. So I encourage everyone to check out theplunge.com. We'll have links in the show notes to the site, obviously. But Jeff, I want to say thanks to you for coming on and sharing your insight and a look at some of the things on your website. And we hope to have you back again on Grooms with a View.
Anytime. It's been a lot of fun, and thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. If anyone has any questions for us or for Jeff, we encourage you to write in. Our email address is feedback@thewpn.com. That's feedback@thewpn.com. Or you can always call our listener hotline, which is 800-882-1259. We've been chatting with Jeff Wilser from theplunge.com. For all of you guys and you girls out there, you can check it out too. You've been listening to Grooms with a View, only available on Wedding Podcast Network. I'm Robert Allen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.